listeners, welcome to A Cup of Joe podcast, where we are diving into different perspectives on life, sprinkling some love and appreciation to those around us, and giving you guys a chance to share your thoughts and ideas on the website, www.acupofjoepodcast.com. So sit back, relax, and let me fill up your cup. Welcome back, lovely people. Y'all know what it is. I am your lovely host, Giovanni Smith, but of course, because we fam, you can call me Joe. And welcome to the podcast. Now, you know, I am very excited about this particular episode and of course the episodes following through because I have a special guest here on A Cup of Joe podcast. And it is someone near and dear to my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands wherever you are. If you're driving, put your hands on the wheel and just scream out yes from my good friend, Charlene Capehart. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Of course. Of course. You did not have to bend. Thank you. Of course. Welcome to the podcast. Now, let me give you guys a little vibe of what's going to be happening through A Cup of Joe podcast. We are going to be, well, let me say, I'm going to be bringing people that I know, friends, family, members just to be talking about different topics. And today Charlene is gonna we're gonna have a conversation about two different topics. This is kind of, it's gonna probably be heavy, so kind of sit back and relax. And let me just put this out in the beginning, we are not experts, we just want to have a conversation, we want to get a greater understanding, and we also want to offer solutions, because here on ACOJ A Cup of Joe podcast, we are here to encourage, to uplift, to empower. That's what we're all about. But today we're going to be talking about racism and colorism. Okay? Like I felt some hearts racing. I also felt some people in the background. They're like, yes. And then there's some people like, ugh. So we're going to be talking about racism and colorism. And once again, we are not experts. We are not activists. We just want to have the conversation, and I hope you guys feel encouraged. I hope you guys can get into this conversation. So, Char, let's start it off. Let's go into it. Which one do you want to start off with? Racism or colorism, or both all together?
You know, let's start with racism, because I feel like racism is kind of what leads to colorism.
Okay, so, it's alive and well still, yeah. In 2019.
Absolutely.
What do you think is the problem? I know that's such a simple. It's such a simple question, and people are like, really, Joe? But, like, what do you think seems to be the problem when we get into racism in our world today?
I think in our world today.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like we do not address history.
Oh.
That's number one. Because if you don't address history, that's like saying, oh, it didn't happen, right?
Right, right.
So if you look back on history, We're not looking for people to just be like, yo, like, we're not looking for reparations. Well, at least some of us aren't.
Right.
But, you know, you got to address history, because without that, you don't know where you're going. Okay. Mm. So I feel like it starts there. A lot of people don't want to, you know, acknowledge the fact that it even happened. Mm. Some people today is like, it doesn't happen anymore, which we all know it still does.
Oh, right? Of course.
You know, every day there's another storyline of somebody, some black kid or some, you know, Latino kid who got murdered by police, or, you know, a white, crazy white guy. Like, it's still out there, guys.
Right. Why? So it is still out there. And I think it's very interesting for me. We are in 2019, and it is very much such a high. It's very tense now. I don't think I experienced this like back in 2014 or 2013. This year, and even like last year in 2018, it has been such a. It's a very tense. We live in a very tense society where racism is at an all-time high, where our brothers and sisters who are not black, those who understand it, are very aware of color. They're very aware of the lack of diversity. They're very aware in some of the conversations. And then you have those who are people of color who are kind of like, you cross me, we done. You know, I don't think people are sitting back to apologize, or people are going to take the same, I don't want to say beaten, but they're not taking any of the same energy when people are racist. Like, people are reacting. So I guess, how are we navigating this? For me, I think I navigate racism with very much, not a hate, but just kind of like a heaviness and an anger, because we shouldn't have to go through this in 2019. We shouldn't have to explain to young kids how to interact with different people who may not like your skin color, or I don't know. Like, it's sad to me, and it frustrates me that we have to have this conversation, mm-hmm. and we have to continue to have the conversation. We have to continue to get to a place of reconciliation. And I feel like the many moments that we've taken a couple of steps forward, we're taking 20 steps back.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think racism is more alive today than it ever was. I just think that, you know, with the advancements of technology, social media, it's just, you know, everything's put on social media, right?
So
you just know. It's just there.
It kind of intensifies.
It intensifies it. It's like live almost.
Right.
Like the minute it happens,
it's
on Facebook.
I mean, so if I have to be honest, my favorite social media platform is Twitter. Just because I feel like I'm getting the news or knowing what's happening, who's breaking up, what's popping off, you know. I followed the whole Cardi B and Offset relationship through Twitter, so thank you very much for that. But it's interesting to me when racism happens. Yeah, social media is the first platform, and Twitter for me seems to be the top one that is, it's either something is trending, people got the most the most opinions about it, there's videos, it's just very quick.
Right.
You're able to access it. And so I'm wondering, has this always been the case? Has social media has always been this platform where it intensifies subjects, or do you think we just got to this point where it is now a primary platform? Do you think it's always been like that, where we've highlighted racism, highlighted people being racist or racism in general through social media, or it's just now because we are in 2019 and people are kind of like knowing social media? There's so many ins and outs.
Definitely.
It's like growing rapidly. You know, you're not only getting like our generation, you're getting the generation before us.
Mm-hmm.
Like my younger cousins are like, I don't think they really pick up a newspaper or even like Google anything.
Right.
I think they're more so like, oh, if it's on social media,
it's popping.
Like, yeah, it's popping.
Yeah,
we know
for sure.
We know.
Yeah, I would say that it's an easier way to get your story out.
Yeah,
you know, especially if you're on that the short end of the stick when it comes to, you know, some sort of racist act. You know, it's the quickest way. Because what, are you going to go to a news station and hope they play it?
Right.
But if it's run by someone, not to get political, but if it's run by a party that is, you know.
Right.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen. This is what we all about here. This
right?
is what we all about. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, and I feel like I've heard this before, do you think black people could be racist? Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like any human being has the capability to be racist, right? Because racism didn't start just here in America.
Oh, okay.
Racism has been around for a while, you know, since the beginning of time.
Okay.
You know, we weren't the first races.
Oh, well, elaborate.
If you take it biblically, you look at, you know, how the Egyptians were treated. And, you
okay.
know, so it's not just us.
But
you know?
Do you think, okay, so, but...
Anyone has the ability to be racist.
So why is it that, and I'm just trying to figure out, so why is it, because there are a lot of people who are not black or people of color or different cultures who are just like, you know, in our history and looking back and even now, it is one race. It is the white race that is very much racist. And hear me when I say, listeners, this is not us saying that all white people are racist or all white people that you come in contact. This is what we, you know, you see on social media. This is what you see on videos. This is what you hear, is that it's always, oh, this white person killed a black person. So I don't think we don't hear the stories of like, oh, you've never heard of an Egyptian now, or someone from a different color going to like kill a whole, let's say, a whole group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not white, so I don't, honestly, I don't have that answer for you. I've thought about that a lot, too.
Okay.
You know, I've thought about, like, why is it always the white person that's going out being crazy? Like, we just sitting back, you know?
Right,
but
right.
But we get called the thugs, right?
Wow.
But,
okay. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, like, I want to tap into that. I want to tap into that a little bit. So you go ahead and repeat what you said so the people who missed it could, you know, dig on in.
So in a nutshell, I said, why is it always the white people out doing all this crazy stuff? Mm. But then the black person gets labeled the thug.
Why is it that black people get labeled criminal or thug or animal? Such harsh language and vocabulary.
Can I be dead honest?
Oh,
is this like...
Hello, this is a time to be honest.
All right, I'm gonna go there then. I feel like thug is the politically correct nigger.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Straight up.
Wow, wow, wow.
Right? Because nigger, you know what, we can't, you know, they can't go around saying nigger anymore, so they put thug on us.
Mm.
From thug, you know, they just, that, and it gives a negative connotation, right? Mm. The same way nigger did.
Wow. Wow, that, I mean, my heart is heavy right now. My heart is like, boom. It is hitting really differently. So let me go ahead and just preface for our listeners. These are conversations we want to have. These are conversations we want to be able to open up, and feel free to drop your comments. Feel free to ask the questions, because we want to be able to offer solutions at the same time. So you're saying even with the N-word, this is kind of like a replacement for that.
That's what I feel.
Mm.
News articles, thug this thug that, you know? Aggressive black man.
Wow.
All these negative words that bring out an emotion within certain people groups, specifically white, to get them scared, right?
Mm. Because so, to fear some, it is very normal to fear a group of individuals and to put a label over them just so you know, like, oh, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. What's a good way of saying it? I would say it's easier to put a label over people,
mm-hmm.
and because that way you have support from other people to kind of hone in on that situation, to put some boundaries, some barriers over that. So what we see in our world is that young black boys or even people of color who are labeled as thug, labeled as criminals, and now you have people in place to kind of handle those situations. And you said something that was very significant, that fear is kind of like the core issue of everything that is happening. I think that a lot of the issues or things that are happening within our world and specifically within our systems is led in fear.
Yeah.
Like the root of what it is. And there's some people like, nah, they just what it is. But like, and to, when you see somebody do something irrational, when you make an irrational decision, you're like, did you think about that? Or
right.
like what was the root of the root? Like, what was going on at the center of what was happening? And a couple episodes we talked about haste makes mistakes. That's like when you make a decision in such a quick hurry, when you are making a decision out of fear, you don't know how you're acting. That's just the same way when people are like, oh, if when you go see a movie, you know, when somebody's like, oh, don't go in there or don't do this. Like, if this was me, I would not be going in that. I would not be going there. If that was me,
right.
I would have been running away. But would you really do it?
Because
in that moment, because we are not there, we're
right.
not feeling what the person is feeling. And so a lot of it is, it's a fear of people looking different than you.
Yeah.
Fear of, I think, really a culture or a community rising up in a way, you know?
Right.
And I think also it plays hand in hand with why we have people who are just like, you know, they want to switch labels. Black excellence, you know,
right.
kings, you know.
Right.
You see doctors, people who are going after their careers. Like, not everyone is the thug. Not everyone is a criminal. Not everyone is going out here shooting somebody. And so I think it's easier to keep our eyes on the fear,
mm-hmm.
instead of shifting our gaze to what is beautiful.
Right.
Like, Morehouse yeah. College.
Woo! Shout out to Morehouse.
Shout out to Morehouse. Them brothers. Them brothers. All graduated
yeah.
this year, class of 2019. First of all, debt-free. My goodness. If
Hello.
That ain't a blessing. Debt-free. And I thought it was such a beautiful thing to see young Black men going through school, getting their education.
Yeah.
Like, that was a choice on their behalf. That yeah. was a choice for them to go to school, to finish, and to graduate. Because we never know what they're going through. And this is these are the same men that get labeled as thugs
yep.
and as criminals.
Yep.
So when we come back, we're going to offer some. I know it's a little bit heavy. I know some of y'all are listening like, ooh, I don't know where Joel's going with this. We're going to offer some solutions. And let me go ahead and say this. This is not us getting on the white race. This is not us getting on anyone else. Because when we get back, we're going to be talking about colorism. And we're going to kind of be peeling back on how Black people could really be hurtful to different shades.
Definitely.
So stay tuned here on A Cup of Joe. Hey, it's your girl Joe. Thank you for listening. If you want to continue the conversations, share your idea and topics, go ahead and check us out on the website, www.acupofjoepodcast.com. Welcome back to A Cup of Joe. Of course, you already know what it is. I'm your girl, Joe, and we are here with my girl, Char, and we're talking about racism, but I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. I want to go into colorism, and then we're gonna get into, like, offering some solutions. What is good? What can we do to make this better? Because we are women of class, everyone. We're women of stature. We are women of the Lord, and
Absolutely.
We want to be able to encourage, empower, and engage with our audience. Y'all could take that if y'all want to.
Amen.
Now, I was looking at the definition of colorism, right? And it is a noun. Just, you know, I like to educate the people a little bit. And colorism is, it's prejudice or discrimination against individuals with a dark skin tone, typically among people of the same ethnic or racial group. And I ended up going on a nice little, you know, rabbit hole on this. I even watched Blackish had shared a episode about colorism
yeah.
and went into a nice little deep, you know, rabbit hole doing all this, like, research and figuring it out. And there is very much a lot of people, our people,
mm-hmm.
That are hurt through colorism. There is a huge... this is a very huge conversation where it has created some serious emotional and even psychological battles. And so, you know, even when people are like team light skin or team dark skin or
I hate it.
Any other thing. So, I mean, let's talk about, like, I'm beautiful. I would like to say a nice dark Nubian queen. I just want to put it out there, everyone. Also, let me just preface to say this is not your time, men, to shoot your shot through the Cup of Joe podcast. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's talk about it.
Let's talk about
because
it.
I think, let me just be completely honest, I think that all shades of brown and black are beautiful. All shades. I do think that we have gotten to a point now in time where we are now embracing dark-skinned people.
Finally.
Isn't it?
Finally.
We are now embracing dark-skinned people.
Yes, ma'am.
We are now seeing, like, most of the platforms, most of TV shows, movies, it's all beautiful dark-skinned people. Or there is a very much a spotlight on dark-skinned people. So what do you think is the issue when it comes to colorism?
The first thing I think of is Willie Lynch.
Oh.
You familiar with Willie Lynch?
You know what? You come stepping in this. Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, Willie Lynch, for those of you who don't know, whether or not you believe he was real or not, his systems and his approach was very much real in the way that he treated his slaves.
Mm.
And he has a book, or he wrote a letter, I think, to the people of Jamestown because they were having trouble controlling their slaves. And pretty much, you guys can find it on Google or whatever. It's called The Making of a Slave. Mm. But in that, he says something about put the light skin against the dark skin.
Wow.
And put the dark skin against the light skin. Right?
Right.
So pit them against each other. And I think, you know, because so many different slave owners, whether you believe it or not, followed that, you know, with that you get the house nigga and the field nigga, right?
Right, right.
You know, the house niggers were the lighter skin mulattoes who were also kin to the slave owner,
wow.
most likely his kid, right? Because he would have had sex with the slaves.
Wow.
So they were considered a little bit above, even though you're still a slave. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whereas the field niggas is just outside all day, picking cotton, you know? But he did this whole, you know, speech about, you know, pitting us against each other. And I feel like because of history and tradition, here we are in 2019, you know, without even knowing, still carrying on what he wanted to do,
right,
was to disunify the black community, right? Because we're stronger together. But if you can, you know, find a way to disunify us,
yeah,
then it's exactly what they or he would have wanted,
right?
From the beginning. So I think, you know, with that same mindset of like, pit them against each other. So, you know, I don't know about you, my whole life, I'm dark skinned, y'all, very dark skinned, West African, shout out to Liberia. you know, I had to throw that in there.
Right.
and my whole life, I've never had a problem being dark skinned. In fact, I forgot I was dark skinned until people brought it up, you
wow.
know? Like, growing up, African booty scratcher, I don't even know what that
wow.
means, you know what I'm saying? You know? Now I look back and I'm like, yeah, y'all was dumb.
Yeah.
And now everybody asking me for a dashiki, so.
Right.
hey. Because we finally come to realize, you know,
there's
we gotta embrace.
Yeah, we have to embrace.
You know, where we actually came from.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with just being, you know, American, but I think people now in 2019 are on this wave of like, man, like my roots are deeper than just America. My roots are deeper than just slavery.
Wow.
My history didn't start with slavery.
Right.
We had a whole people, tribes,
yeah.
you know, in Africa. So I think people are just trying to get questions like, how do I, like, where do I fit in with that? Trying to identify. So yeah, I think colorism is something that needs to be talked about within the black community. Because we tend to like tear each other down for it.
Yeah.
The whole team, light skin, dark skin thing, like, think about what you're really saying.
Yeah.
Because team one, team two.
Yeah. So I have been raised, shout out to my parents, I've been raised to really embrace anyone that looks different, that looks like me. I've just, I mean, I really didn't have a problem with anyone who looked different from me, anyone that was light-skinned from me. And even within my family, we have very distinct shades of brown and black. Some of my cousins are much lighter than me. My mother is much lighter than me. Her sisters, you know, one is much darker, one is much lighter. And therefore, like my cousins, like we just have very much a diverse shade of different colors, but meaning brown and black.
Right.
So I think when it comes to colorism, and this is not something I'm not really knowledgeable with. It was really just watching the show Blackish in that episode and doing like research and figuring out how much hurt there is with that. And what I thought about was I remember being in college and thinking, yeah, of course, like the guys will like light skinned girls because of the way that they are portrayed. And it was never a hate on them. I have a lot of light-skinned friends. It was never a hate on them. It was just like, I just assumed like, yeah, you would like her because she's built differently. She has beautiful hair, or for her to be mixed with something kind of adds a little, you know, a little razzle dazzle, whatnot. And so looking at it now, and as I'm older and kind of figuring out how much hurt people are in, I'm just like, man, like, it's really that serious? Like, y'all really have an issue with the shade of the color.
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind. That blows my mind because I know this is kind of like, I don't want to, I know it's a cop-out. I know people are kind of like, okay, Joe, we get it. You was raised differently. But I just, I don't think I've always been, I've just come to appreciate all shades of color, all shades of, you know, all shades of color, from white to the darkest to black, purple to whatever. Like, I just come to appreciate the differences and the beauty in everyone. And so I think it hurts sometimes to see that a community of people that I love so much really pinning one another, like, you know, going head to head with one another.
Right.
So my thing is, we're going to go into this. How do we offer solutions? How do we offer solutions? We've been talking about racism. We've been talking about colorism. Where do we, what are some solutions that we offer to our listeners? What is some encouragement? What is some of our empowerment? And one for me, one thing, shout out to my roommates, Heather and Hannah. They are two white women, and what I've come to appreciate the most about them is that they embrace the culture that I'm a part of. They don't try to be black. They don't try to, you know, go out here and be at every black party. They just embrace and they know who they are. And so I would say the first solution, black or white, however it is, learn to embrace another person. Don't try to be like them. Learn to embrace it.
Yeah.
And I know, like, people are like, that's, you know, come on, Joe, give them more. Like, we have to stop putting blame. That's number one. And number two, we need to start embracing one another.
Yeah.
When I think about an embrace, I think about, like, hugging when I haven't seen my parents or when I haven't seen my family and I come and hug them. And that is, like, the way that they embrace me, the way that they've, like, held me and just kind of like, man, we haven't seen you. Like, that's the type of embrace. That's the type of connection that I want to have with someone who looks different than me, that I'm able to embrace what you look like, who you're with, and vice versa. So I would say stop the blame, embrace. What are some things that you think about?
You know what? One of the big things for me is I have this heart for justice, right?
Mm.
So anytime I see, you know, an injustice taking place, even if it has nothing to do with me, I'm quick to call it out.
Wow.
So I would say for those of you who don't necessarily have, you're not racist, but you want to be able to help towards injustices, speak out.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Right? You can't stay silent.
Right.
Because then that means you're just on the side of, you know, you're on the wrong side.
Right.
Essentially, your influence is necessary.
Right.
You know, if you're Caucasian and, you know, you're one of those people who tends to say, oh, well, I'm not racist. Okay, well, stand with us.
Yeah.
Okay. Be beside us and don't be a silent activist.
Mm.
You know? Be very present and work towards getting the peace that you need. But peace doesn't come naturally.
Right.
You know, peace that's hard to attain.
Right.
There's going to be some fighting. There's going to be some arguments. But the thing is to go into it with the hopes of reconciliation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you can't reconcile without having a discussion of what happened that needs to be reconciled to begin with.
Right.
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 So stand in the gap with us.
Mm.
Or with those who are oppressed, those who, you know, are victims of oppression in any way, shape, or form. You know, there's a lot going on these days with, you know, ICE going out and hunting people down. Like, it's easy to say, well, I'm here, you know.
Right, right.
You know, but what, seriously, have some empathy, have some compassion, and do what you can.
And that goes for, you mentioned something with ICE, that also goes for people who, people of color who probably don't have the cultural background. And we'll get into that in our next episode of Cup of Culture. But like that goes into not having to worry about being culturally bounded or having the, you know, kind of like this privilege of staying, you know, living and being born of America. And so although my family is very much Haitian, I was born and raised in the States.
Yeah.
And so a couple of my Haitian friends who were born in Haiti, I don't feel that pressure that they're feeling.
Right.
And so it's easy for me to be like, okay, you know, ça passe, and then keep it pushing.
Right.
You know, I understand that there is sort of a calling for me to stand in the gap with them.
Right.
To be there, whether that's praying, whether that's uplifting them, encouraging them, staying educated. And I think that's another one I would say is educate yourself. That's black, white, pink, purple, whatever. You need to educate yourself.
Absolutely.
You have to be knowledgeable of what you're talking about. You have to be willing to have the conversation. And although these are two heavy topics, and we could go on and on and on about it, but I think you have to be able to educate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be willing to be like, you know what? I didn't know that. And I'm sorry. I didn't know that. But thank you for correcting me on that.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to see that. You got to be willing to be corrected.
Absolutely.
And you got to be willing to be humble and just educate yourself.
Right.
So man, we could go on and on, y'all, but
for days.
But you know what? We're going to get into a sprinkle of excellence, you know, try to uplift, highlight. Do you know what a sprinkle of excellence?
I've heard it on your others.
Well, you know, I mean, we're just here uplifting, highlighting different individuals every episode that are doing excellent things in their lives, communities, and or anywhere else. And today, let me tell you, today, I am honored to highlight this individual. This is Adley Charles. Most of the music and the beats that you hear on a Cup of Joe podcast was created by Adley Charles himself. This dynamic young man is not only a husband, a father, a musician, but a student. He is working, he's not working on his bachelor's. He's not working on his master's.
Doctor.
Yo, hello.
Okay.
Come on, Jesus.
Dr. Adley. All right, then.
Come on, Dr. Adley. Come on. He is working on his doctorate. And you know what? I really believe that Adley is making an impact in his community. He loves giving back. He exudes humility and peace through the way he lives and the people that come in contact with him. So go ahead. Put your fingers like you're sprinkling some powdered sugar on a funnel cake at a carnival.
Come on now.
And show your love and appreciation to Adley Charles. Thank you. Goodness. Well, listen, y'all. It does not have to stop here. You know why? Because we have a Cup of Joe podcast website. So if you have any questions, if you want to get into the conversation, reach out. Go ahead and put your comments. That is a wrap for us. We are going to our next episode next Friday, and we're going to be talking about culture. And of course, we're going to have my girl, Char. So sit back and relax, and let me fill up your cup. Well, my good friends, that is a wrap for me. Stay blessed, not stressed, clean, but don't be mean. I am your girl, Joe, always ready to fill up your cup. Peace.